Good morning, everyone. It is so good to be with you this morning for another look at God's Word. And this morning we're going to be in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, you don't hear a lot of messages out of this, but it's got some great stuff in it. And we're going to be in the very last chapter, chapter 12, and going to read the last two verses. So here we go. It said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Now, we start out with this, and it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. But first, we need to find out where it came from. What was before this? Why is there a conclusion? This is a book by Solomon, and we can look at this, and we look in verse 1 of chapter 1. It says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem." Okay, so he starts this out. Now, we see this and you say, okay, if you hear somebody say this, you might say, okay, well, they never had anything and they're just at the end of their life and they're saying these things. But Solomon was just the opposite. Solomon had everything. Solomon was king of Israel. Solomon had everything. He was known for his great wisdom. People came from far away to listen to him. We get some stories out of that. He had riches. He had everything that he wanted to have. Anything that he wanted, he could get it. He was king. He was a king of a vast kingdom, and he had a lot of power, so he was it. He was it. I mean, if Solomon said it, that was it. No questions asked. He didn't have to go to someone and say, hey, can I do this? Can I do that? That was it. I mean, he was the supreme. And here he is at the end of it, at the end of his life. And the second verse of that chapter 1 is, "Vanities of vanities, saith the preacher, vanities of vanities, all is vanities." All is vanity. All means nothing. Means nothing. So he's talking about this. And this is what we preach about, that at the end of it, it's not about your riches, it's not about your stuff, it's not about your people that are around you, your entourage, whatever it is that you have. And we have so many examples of people that have had a lot and say it didn't make them happy. It didn't bring them peace. It didn't bring them any of that. And Solomon is saying this. And so he says, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. His life is coming to an end. He's saying, let us hear the conclusion of the matter of what? Life, you know. And growing up, I remember these things, you know, what is the meaning of life, you know, and in the 70s, early 70s, and people would just, you know, all these kinds of things, and they had a guru and somebody to tell them what the meaning of life was. You know, they were searching for it and looking for it. People are still doing that today. They're searching for the meaning of life, and right here it is, and we need to just go and say, look, this is it. So why should we wait till the conclusion of our life? Why not do it now? Why not do it? Believe in God in your youth, not when you're no longer tempted, you know. And he talks about this as well. In verse 8 of chapter 12, he says it again, "Vanities of vanities, say the preacher, all is vanity." It didn't mean anything. All of this stuff, all of the things that were around him. And folks, we grab onto things and we're just as bad. I don't care if you've got a lot of stuff, you don't have very much stuff, but you know, we grasp onto that. And if you don't have a lot, I'm telling you, some of the most greedy people I've ever met didn't have anything. They were greedy. They wanted it all. They were envious. They were greedy. They wanted to hang on to whatever they got. They, you know, if they had something, they were not going to help anybody out. They were not going to do this. And some of the most, gracious and giving people were people that had a lot. That you wouldn't even know of, but they, you know, and they wanted to keep it secret. They would, I want to give, but I don't want anybody knowing about this. I've had people as a pastor, people come to me and say, I want to do this, but I don't want anybody but you and I to know about this. You know, I don't want it publicized, you know, and so I would do my best to keep it quiet. Sometimes I might have to tell the treasurer, you know, where it came from, or might have to hand him a check, but we kept that as quiet as possible because that was the view of that person. They weren't looking for a lot of accolades out of it. And then I've seen other people that they gave and they wanted everyone to know about it. I want a plaque on this and I want this and I want that. You know, I want everybody to know that I did this. So Solomon is at the end of his life is saying it's all vanity. It is all vanity. And I want you to know without Jesus Christ, everything is vanity. You are not going to have peace in your life until you have Jesus Christ in your life. Now, I'm not talking about that everything is going to be all of a sudden great. That is not the truth. And these people that preach that, They're trying to lure you into something. I'm telling you, life goes on even after you get saved. Bills still keep coming. Troubles will still be there in your life. The news will still come on, whether you like it or not. But I will tell you that you have peace in your life. And the Bible talks about peace that passeth all understanding. People will look at it that don't have it and go, I don't get it. I don't get it. Why are you that way? They may look at it and go, I want whatever you've got. Hopefully that's the case. Hopefully they'll look at you and go, I don't know what it is you have, but I want it. I want it. So he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, the conclusion of life. And that's what most people are looking for, man. What's it all about? And here's the thing too, you know, we've talked about this in previous sermons, you know, the death rate is 100% among human beings and our life will end. And I'm not saying that I'm looking forward to that. I'm like a preacher I heard. He said, I'm not greedy. I'll take the next bus. And that's okay. That's the way it is. We're instilled with that to want to stay alive. But what are we going to do with that life? How are we going to conduct it? Are you going to get to the end of it and go, okay, now I'm going to try to make amends? I had people tell me that too. When I get to that age, well, what is that age? I'm going to tell you, you know, and I've told before that, you know, I used to get my local paper all the time, and I was telling somebody, I said, you know, I got to the point where all I was doing was looking at the obituaries. And, you know, maybe part of it is so I could look at it and make sure I wasn't in there, you know, but most of it was just to see who had passed away. And I mean, it didn't matter. I mean, there were young children in there, newborns, people who lived to 90, nearly 100 years old, maybe 100, you know, middle-aged people, my age, you know, all of them, you know, it didn't discriminate. And so why do you want to wait till that age of whatever that is? Why don't you give your heart to Jesus Christ today? And so he says this, he said, I want you to know, I'm at the end of it, but here's what I want you to know. He said, to fear God. Now this fear is not being afraid. This fear, you know, and people look at this in the King James Bible and they say, well, I should be just afraid of God. And, you know, no, that's not what this is. This is this, a respect, an extreme respect. And, you know, like this is the person, you know, you may have someone in your life like that, maybe a dad, a grandpa or something, you just have this extreme respect for. And so when you go to them, you're respectful and no matter what you're doing and you don't want to make them mad, you know, you want to give them due respect, even if they say something you disagree with. Well, if you disagree with God, he's right. You know, human beings not. Or maybe you don't have anybody like that in your life. Never have. No one that you truly respected. But Solomon's saying to fear God. Conclusion of the matter, number one, fear God. To give him that respect of knowing he is God. He's the one that made everything. He's the one that keeps everything in place. It's just amazing to me, all the things that we keep looking at with telescopes that we put out there, and the more that we see, the more that we know that there's there, and the more that we can kind of understand about it, then the more that we don't understand about it. And God keeps all of this in place, you know, and everybody, oh, well, it's just held in place by gravity. We can't even define gravity. We can measure it. We know that 9.8 meters per second square is how everything falls in a vacuum, but we can't come to the point of going, yeah, we know what it is. You can't hold it in your hand. You can't bottle it up. You can't say, well, yeah, I've got a bottle of gravity here. You know, and you see science fiction movies and they turn the gravity off, they turn the gravity on and those kind of things. We don't have that. We truly can't do that, but we know it's there and God is in control of all this. And folks, when we get to the point where we realize that God has it all, God has a plan. He said that the plan for salvation was laid before the foundations of earth. He knew exactly what he's going to do. And that creates a lot of questions. I know that, you know, well, why did he do it then? I don't know. He's God. I can look at him and go, that's okay. I can lay that at your feet and I can let you have that, because the Bible tells us in Isaiah that his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. I'm glad of that. I am so glad that I don't have a God who is as dumb as I am, who can't figure stuff out. You know, I've been trying to build some stuff and I know guys that do it all the time and they don't think about it. I have to stand there and think about it 30 minutes to do a 10 minute work. You know, there's just things that my mind is boggled by this. And then sometimes I'll look at, and you know, I'll ask somebody, well, how do you do this? And they'll tell me, I go, oh yeah, that's really simple, isn't it? You know, but God has all of it. He has every single bit of it. And I am so glad that he has that and he can take care of that. And I can bring that to him. I can have that fear and awe of God and go and say, Lord, I know that you have it. But here's the thing. I have a relationship with him. It's not just that I'm just awestruck by him. I have a relationship with him. I can approach him. Even though I have that fear, that respect, and others do too, we can talk to him. And he wants us to talk to him. He says, yeah, bring it to me. He said, I care for you. I want to hear what you've got. It's cast your cares upon him. We take them all to him and we bring it to him and say, look, here it is. And in Psalm 111:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. See, his praise. That's what it is. The fear of God, that being awestruck, is the beginning of wisdom, of realizing how everything really is. We don't have to look around and go, well, I've got to prove this and prove that. No, I can take this to you. Everything, every discovery that we've ever made, God already knew it. It was already there. It was just something, you know, and with microscopes, we strengthen them over the years, and we are able to look at more and more and more and just see all this stuff that, you know, we couldn't see before. You know, it's been said before that these guys who came up with all these theories about how everything came about, that if they'd had a powerful microscope, they wouldn't even have that theory, because they would have seen that there was even smaller stuff than what they could see, smaller than they could even imagine. And it just keeps on going. You know, it's there, and there's stuff that holds everything together, you know, and keeps it all going. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom, a good understanding. Have I all they that do his commandments and keep, and his praise endureth forever. We're going to give him praise forever. So Solomon is just acknowledging this. He's just saying, look, here it is. God has always been there. And now, did Solomon do everything right? Nope. Solomon messed up a lot. Solomon messed up a lot of stuff. He made a lot of poor choices. He did a lot of poor things. But at the end of it, he was going, you know what? That was all vanity. I'm trying to tell you something. In Proverbs, I've read through this with my family, and I would encourage you to do that, to sit down and read through Proverbs with your family, especially your smaller kids. And I guarantee you will get some great questions. So, mom and dad, if you want to do this with your kids, I really want to tell you, you need to study it. You need to read it, because they're going to bring up some great questions. And I did that. Even though I'd study it and stuff, so I'd get some questions from my kids sometimes. I'd go, going to have to get back with you on that one. I've got to do a little studying myself. But it's great stuff. And it's talking about, you know, passing on that knowledge. You know, daddy, you out there, you're the priest of your household. You're supposed to be taking your family and worshiping together. You're supposed to teach them all during the week. It's not just on a Sunday. You're supposed to demonstrate to them the relationship with God. When you make a mistake, you're supposed to take it and let them know, I'm human, I made a mistake, and I take it to God and ask forgiveness for it. And let them know what a life in Christ is like. You know, so that, because they may not see it in somebody else. I mean, even in church, they may not see it, but they need to see it in you, dad. Mom, you need to be right alongside there. A helpmeet is not subservient to the husband. A helpmeet is pulling alongside. And so you need to teach your kids, and you need to teach your grandkids, and don't just depend upon somebody else to do this. And Solomon does that in Proverbs, and he's trying to do that here. He's saying, look, I want you to understand this. He's trying to teach us. He's trying to tell us something here so that we can take this to fear God, to give him awe, and to go to him and go, Lord, you are so mighty. I can take this to you. I can take the smallest things. I can take the greatest things. It doesn't matter what it is. I can take it to you, and you're okay with that. You know, one of the greatest pleasures in my life, seeing my kids, and my kids are grown now, but when they were smaller, being able to come to me with something and say, Dad, I need some help. I want to talk to you about this. And, you know, and that was a great pleasure in my life, that they would respect me enough to respect my opinions and my knowledge and my wisdom to come to me and go, I need help. And even now, my grown children, they'll call me up sometimes and say, hey, Dad, I need help with this. How do I do this? Or I'm thinking about buying this, and I know you've got that, and yeah, I know you did some research or something, you know, whatever it is. It's elating to me, and God said, I want you to bring that to me. I want you to bring the smallest stuff to me. I want you to bring the greatest stuff to me. And that took me a long time to get to that point where I would take the small stuff to God. Cause I was raised up thinking, well, God doesn't want to hear that. You know, he doesn't want to hear about these little bitty things that I've got in my life and that thing over there and that thing over there. No, he wants to hear it. And it took me a while to get that, but man, I'm telling you what, it was freeing when I started realizing that I could take the smallest things to God. And I know that I've shared this in sermons before that I was out there working on a brake one time on the back of my truck, you know, and I'd taken the line loose and I was trying to get it back in there and I was trying to get everything the way it was supposed to be. And my hands were getting cold and I couldn't get it in there. And I thought, I know it came out of there. I know it came out, you know, and finally I said, Lord, I've got to have some help. I'm freezing out here. This thing, you know, it just won't get. I stuck it back there and threaded right in. And I've told people that and they go, oh, well, it's just coincidence. Not to me. It's not. I prayed about that and it happened and you say, well, that's a small thing. You're getting it now. Yeah, it is a small thing to some people, but to God, everything is big when it comes to one of his children. And I'm one of his children. And if you are, you can take those things to him. Fear God. Give him that all. Take it all to him. Let him know I love you so much. And I know you love me and I want to tell you this. David and so many of the Psalms, it gets me every time I read them. He starts out and it's kind of like this. He's like, God, what's going on? You've turned against me. I think, you know, all these people are out here trying to get me and this is happening and that happened. And throughout different parts of his life, he would name what was going on. And then, you know, and he's laying out his problems and, you know, and the end of it, he goes, well, why am I upset? You're God. You're going to take care of me. It'll be all right. And you know, that's okay. It's okay to go to God and go, I don't get it. I don't get it. Heavenly Father, Lord, I don't get it. Jesus, I don't get it. I don't understand it. What's going on here? But all the time knowing he's got the answer and you can lay it down. And at the end of it, you lay it out there, you get it off of you and you go, but you're God. Here you go. You can handle this. So to fear God. The second part of this is to keep his commandments. Folks, keeping his commandments is crucial to a life. Now, we talked about this in the last sermons. We talked about judgment. Judgment. We're going to be judged for what we've done in our bodies, both good and bad. Hey, we've got a guidebook right here. Now, most of you men out there are probably like me, where you get your instructions, you throw them away, and then you realize you can't do it, and you have to go dig them out and get the coffee grounds off of them, and, you know, and pull it out, and then you look at it and go, oh, yeah, that would have been a lot easier had I had that in front of me instead of doing what I did for the last hour and a half. Well, this is a guidebook for our lives, folks. Don't just discard it until you get into trouble. Use it for your daily life. Go through it. Do what it says. Follow it. Hey, we all have trouble doing that, but if we'll study it, and the Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. That was Paul to Timothy. And he's telling him, you know, study the word of God. Don't just kind of look at it every once in a while. Study it. Look at it. And none of us, I think, would say, yeah, I studied enough. No, we all need to study it more. But to study it, how are you going to know his commandments? How are you going to know what he's got for your life? How are you going to know what he wants you to do or what he doesn't want you to do unless you study his word? Get in there. Study his word. Read it, but also study it. Read through it, but also go back to it and find out this is what he wants for me. This is how he wants me to react. It tells us all these things, how to, our marriages, our friendships, our work, our worship. It tells us how to deal with other Christians. It tells us how to deal with non-Christians. It tells us how to live our life. It tells us how to treat our kids. Kids out there, if you're listening, it tells you that you're supposed to obey your parents, for this is right. So it's all in there, but there's a lot of stuff that psychologists and all these people today say, no, no, that's not the right way. Well, God's way is always the right way. You say, well, in the past, there's been people that have used this and they've done mean things using this. They've lied about it. Yeah, they've misused the word of God. That's why we need to know. So when someone says something about it, we say, that's not what that says. That's not what it says. That's what you're saying it says, but that's not what it says. And it says what it says and it means what it means. And if we'll study it, if we'll know it and read it for what it is and not try to reinterpret it for the times and the conditions, that's the way we do today. Well, that, you know, that was written in archaic times. This has been right up through the ages. Always has been right. And we can always go to it. So if we're going to keep his commandments, we're going to have to know what they are. And so we're going to have to study this word to get into it, to have more and more and more knowledge of it and more heart of it. You know, the Pharisees, Jesus talked to them and they knew the word. They really did. They knew the word. And he said, you know, you keep all these little sacrifices. And people said, yeah, they shouldn't have been doing that. No, according to the law, they should have. Those little spices and things, that's what they were supposed to do. And Jesus was saying, I commend you because you know this and you do it. But he said, you have forgotten the weightier parts or the more deep parts of the law. How to love people, how to care for them, how to have compassion for a sinner. You see, we can look around and we say all these people and we say, well, you know, they're doing their own thing and that's just them. Let them go and let them destroy themselves. We don't have any compassion anymore. We don't care for sinners. We don't cry out. We don't get in the altars anymore and pray for those that are lost. We come into our churches and we wear our clothes and we come in with our preconceived ideas about how many songs we ought to sing. And if we sing way too many songs, we shouldn't have done that. You know, we two songs and the offering and the preaching and then we're out of here. And that's what we ought to do. We don't even know what worship is anymore. We've forgotten what it is. We think worship is singing songs and that's not it. The worship leader is the pastor of the church. It's not the guy who sings the song. It used to be the song leader. Now it's a worship leader. Oh, we're going to come in here. We're going to have worship and we're going to feel good and get all fuzzy and then we're going to listen to some guy talk and we're not going to pay attention to him. We're going to get out of here. We've forgotten all about all that because we don't study God's word. We don't have a heart for it anymore. We're like the Pharisees. We've lost the heart of the law. We lost the heart of the Bible. We may know some of it, but we've lost it. And a lot of times we think we know something when we really don't. And people done it. I've done it before too. Think you know something and then you study God's word and go, yeah, that wasn't really what it said. Here I've had a misconception about it. Study the word. You go in, you listen to a sermon, listen to the sermon, jot you down some notes. If the pastor says, or the preacher, or the evangelist, or whoever it is, says, I'm going to read a couple of verses, but I encourage you to go back and read the whole chapter. Go back that night and read the whole chapter. Read the whole book. Study it. Find out what it says. You're going to find out some amazing things when you get into this, and you're going to find out that you're not keeping his commandments. And we all fail at that, but we can all be better and we can all work together and we can all encourage one another. So he says to fear God for number one. He said the second thing is to keep his commandments. Not just the 10. Folks, there's thousands of commandments in here and we can't even keep up with 10. I've had people say, well, I just live by the 10 commandments. And I say, yeah, how's that going for you? Oh, it's going great. Well, you start asking them, okay, did you do this, you know? It gets quiet. You know, rich young ruler, I've alluded to him before, you know, he tried to justify what he was doing, you know, he was doing all the godly things, but to his fellow man, he wasn't keeping any of those. See, that's the problem. We don't want to do some of them. We discard them. We say, well, I like this, but I don't like that. We cut whole sections out of the Bible because we don't like it anymore. And well, that seems mean spirited. No, it's right spirited. Nothing in here says you're supposed to hate certain people, but we ought to know that certain things are wrong. Homosexuality is a sin. The Bible talks about it. Talks about it being an abomination. Does that mean we hate a homosexual? No. No, we pray for them. We want them to get saved. We want them to live a life for Christ. Just the same thing in our lives. If someone that's not a homosexual, if they got something in their life, I'm telling you right now, fornication is sex outside of marriage, and that's wrong. If you're living with somebody, you're doing something wrong. I don't care if you're going to church every Sunday. You're doing something wrong. You need to correct that in your life. You need to make sure that it's right in your life and correct that. You say, well, you hate me. And no, I don't hate you. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I've got my own sin. I understand that. And I have to go take them to God. There's some that I keep doing, you know, and I'm just, I don't know why I keep doing this. And I've given this example of my son, you know, coming home and he had done something. I don't even remember what it was. I told him, we get home, boy, you've had it. I've heard those words before and he did too. And got home and sitting in that recliner and he walked by cutting his eyes at me and he walked the other way cutting his eyes at me. I dropped my head and as I was looking down, two little feet appeared. Then I looked up and I looked in his eyes and he just said, Daddy, I don't know why, but sometimes I just do the wrong thing. And it just flew all over me. You know, how many times have I gone to God and go, I don't know why, but I keep on doing the wrong thing. But the great thing is, he said, if you'll bring it to me, if you confess your sins, he said, I'm faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's not a sinner's prayer. That's someone that's saved. That was to people in the church that we mess up and we take it to him. And so, yeah, we all have it, but folks, we need to acknowledge it, whether we like it or not. This is wrong. When we're doing something wrong, when we've done something wrong, we need to acknowledge it. If we've done something right, then we need to thank God that He led us on the right path and we followed it. Keep His commandments. Folks, we got this give and take, and we need to do it. Need to follow Him. He said, fear God, be awestruck by Him, keep His commandments. And He said, for this is the whole duty of man. That's an incredible statement. When you read that in that way and you break it down and you look at it, He said, for this is the whole duty of man. He didn't say, and there's another part of it that if you'll do this and do that. No, He said, if you'll fear God and keep His commandments, that's a whole duty. And you say, what about the rest of it? What about the stuff you were talking about? How to treat people, you know, how to treat your spouse, how to treat your kids. Here's the thing. If we will put this in perspective, if we'll fear God and keep His commandments and He's number one and that's what we're doing, the rest of it will cascade down and it will be right. You know, if you took a Maslow's theory, you know, a hierarchy of needs, you know, you got this need up here and then, you know, you get down, but you got to have this. Jesus Christ is number one. Accept Him. Give your heart to Him. Give your life to Him. Accept that free gift of salvation. Make that commitment to Him. It's not just going up in front of some people and going, yeah, I believe in Jesus. You know, the demons believe in Jesus. That's not what it's about. It's not about from the mouth. It's from the heart. The Bible says if you'll confess the Lord Jesus, that's with your mouth, confessing the Lord Jesus. That's not going to Him and go, hey, I stole a piece of bubble gum when I was in third grade. I just want you to know that. That's not what this is. It's confessing that you are a sinner and that you are a sinner by nature because of the sin brought into this world by Adam. If you'll confess the Lord Jesus, that He is God of your life and He is the one that can do that, the one that paid the penalty, that you are going to place Him number one. He is going to be God of your life, not your spouse, not your kids, not your job, not this world, nothing else in the world. Confess the Lord Jesus. And then it says, and believe in your heart. Now that's not this thing that pumps. You know, I've had somebody say, well, why are we talking about that? That's the center. It's a center of us. That's what this heart means. Believe in your heart. That means when you believe something in your heart, you can't be drawn away from it. When you believe something in your heart, nobody, they can beat you in the head and you're not going to change your belief. You might say something different, but your belief is still there. When you believe in your heart, no one can call you away from it. No one can pull you away from it. No one can convince you. All these people say, well, I've decided I'm not a Christian anymore. They never were a Christian. Because they didn't believe in their heart. If they believed in their heart, they would never go away from it. You say, oh, that's not true. Yes, it is too. Absolutely. And that's what he's talking about. The whole duty of man is to put Jesus Christ number one. He said, well, Jesus wasn't here yet, but he was promised. They knew about him. They knew he was the Messiah. He was the one that was to come. Jesus Christ is God. Okay? 100% man, 100% God. The whole duty of our life is to follow Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing that that's what Jesus said to his apostles when he was walking along the shores of Galilee? He said, follow me. Follow me. That didn't mean just get in behind me. That means come with me. They left what they had and they went with him. And they followed him and stayed with him. John talks about that. We touched him. We ate with him. We talked with him. We laughed with him. You know, all of those things. We were there with him. And see, we can still there be there with him. You say, well, I don't ever feel that. Well, you need Jesus Christ. Folks, there are times that I've been at my lowest and I knew Jesus was right there with me. Even though I didn't want to talk, even though I didn't want to do anything, I knew he was right there with me, just sitting there with me. Some of the greatest things that have happened in my life from human beings or people that just sat with me, that just were there. And that's what Jesus Christ said. So keep his commandments. Fear God. It's the whole duty of man. And then he talks about this in verse 14. He said, okay, if we look at him and go, why? Okay, he says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Why do we want to do this? What's the purpose? You know, what's the meaning in all this? Well, what's the meaning in that statement? He says, God's going to bring judgment upon the world. We talk about that judgment. He said, with every secret thing. Oh, man, that's not good, is it? Every secret thing. He said, every secret thing is going to be brought to light. Folks, I got some secrets I'm not going to tell you. And you've got some that you wouldn't tell me. Probably wouldn't tell anybody, even if you were paying them, to be told something. But Jesus Christ knows them. I want to ask you this morning, do you have Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? That's the main reason I want to talk to you, because you need Him. You need Him in your life. You need Him as Savior. You need to be saved so that you've got a home in heaven. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. It will be in heaven or hell. When your eyes close in death, that decision is made. And I would ask you this morning to make that decision for Jesus Christ. Confess the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Find you somebody that can teach you the Bible and you can learn and know more about it. Our time is ended here, but my name is Charles Morgan. I'm with Word is Alive Ministries. I want to thank you for allowing me to be with you. May God bless your day.